Grace and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Why is it that you and I believe? Why do we trust what God says is true? Because it's in the Bible? Yes, absolutely. God's Word is faithful and true. Not just, though, because it's in the Bible, but because it is true. Our hearts cling in faith to that which is true, even when everything around us may seem to contradict the truth. In our text today, the prophet Habakkuk sees much in his culture around him that he says is totally wrong. And worse, when he cries out to God about it, it seems at first as if God isn't even listening. But then God teaches the prophet, that is, he causes him to see what he also wants us to know and believe. Not only does God hear our cries, but he also gives us faith in his answers by the power of his Holy Spirit. He opens our eyes of faith to see and believe when we hear the gospel of Christ. Like Habakkuk, so many situations in our world today make us wonder if God hears our desperate cries for help. Listen to the cries from Habakkuk's world. The prophet begins our text by crying out that the people of Judah of his day are being very wicked. They're sinning openly against God. And it seems as if God doesn't care. How long will he put up with it? Destruction and violence are before me, he says. Strife and contention arise. The law is paralyzed. Justice never seems to go forth. The wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Sound familiar? And then from bad to worse, in the verses that follow this little introduction of chapter 1, the rest of it, chapter 1, God shows Habakkuk that he will use the Chaldeans or the Babylonians to punish Judah, to wake them up from their sin. Habakkuk says, but wait a minute, God. They're even more wicked than the people of Judah. I just can't see what you're doing, God. It was summertime in Concordia Seminary. The guest preacher was a missionary at large to a deaf congregation. And he led chapel as he spoke the liturgy. He signed the words in American Sign Language. And that was interesting to all the students. And when it came time to deliver the sermon, though, he walked behind the pulpit and he grabbed a music stand and he moved it out to the center of the chancel where he said, I'm sorry, I know this isn't often done here, that is, preaching outside the pulpit, but when I'm back in my own congregation, if I don't stand where they can see me, they can't hear the gospel. Speaking sign language, he needed to be where everyone could see his hands, or they couldn't hear. They couldn't hear the word of Christ proclaimed. They couldn't hear that their sins were forgiven. They couldn't hear the good news. The prophet Habakkuk had real trouble seeing what God was up to. But once he sees God's sign language of allowing the Babylonians to teach his people the hard way, then he cries out from his watchpost, the place of his proclamation, speaking the word of the Lord so the people of Judah might hear it and believe. Likewise, God ensures that we have watchmen, preachers, to proclaim the gospel today. And we're praying God sends one here as your pastor soon. Faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. Only through hearing and believing do we start to see what God is doing. We know Habakkuk's complaint, evil in our world that seems to go unpunished. We know that too, but maybe we also know his second complaint also. When God answers, even when he answers our cry, he seems to get it all wrong. People say, I prayed for patience, and now I have all kinds of problems. God's teaching you. That man in Michigan was a pro-life sidewalk counselor defending his young son from a screaming pro-death advocate. The police declared him innocent when he pushed the man. The court also declared him innocent, but Biden's DOJ, a number of years ago, sent 20 FBI agents to his house to shackle and arrest him in front of his family. Justice perverted. Or how about people who lost their businesses or livelihood for lockdowns and are now that they're now saying were totally unnecessary? Or how about that guy that was in the news recently? There were actually two of them, but the one that sticks out to me, who murdered a 22-year-old young lady while she was asleep. Come to find out the guy had 39 serious crimes charged against him. He'd been in and out of court, 25 felonies, violent crimes as long as your arm, and he wound up out on the street to do it again. Or the guy most recently, similar, who killed a 6-year-old, and after serving only 8 years, they wanted to let him out and let him roam the streets in Florida. Justice perverted. In our text, God answers Habakkuk saying, help is on the way, Habakkuk. Help is on the way. Large print. Write it down. Big enough so somebody could see it even when they're running. Help is on the way. God had a plan and he was going to carry it out. And if fulfillment seems slow, wait for it. Help surely is on the way. In the words of the hymn writer, God is his own interpreter. He will make it plain in his time and in his way. William Cowper, God works in mysterious ways. A great hymn, by the way, and there's a great video of it out online with a guitar and a bass viol there. Very nice. Help is on the way. God is his own interpreter. He will make it plain. It is God's promise that we hang on to. People say, I don't see anything yet. God's answer itself says that it can be understood fully only from the vantage point of the end or the goal or the conclusion of God's dealings with humanity. So in Habakkuk's time, you can see it clearly only from the end of the Babylonian oppression. Or skipping to the coming of Christ our Savior, his coming in the flesh, his life, his ministry, his crucifixion, his death and resurrection. Looking at it from the perspective of the end, you can see it all, and it gives hope in the gospel because we know he went to that cross for us. And then skip to the ultimate end of his coming again in glory to judge all evil and restore all things. This gives faith light to walk by and live in, for it confronts each person with a question. How do you stand before the God whose ways you cannot understand? Do you depend on yourself, or do you rest and rely on him? The just shall live by faith, says Habakkuk. Luther writes, the flesh is neither able to believe in God when in temptation, nor to trust that God is reliable and certain to keep his promise. So at this point, Habakkuk fights against doubt and the doubts of the flesh, and he urges us to do the same. The just shall live by faith. He holds that before our eyes. But even when we don't see God's answers, he urges us to trust. He speaks faith in his help, God does through his word, into our hearts through the gospel. He who gave his own son into death on the cross, how will he not work all things together for the good of his church, for the good of his people? Surely he will. He speaks to Habakkuk the words that later would comfort St. Paul and Luther and all the way down to you and me. The righteous shall live by faith. Abraham trusted God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Luther writes, it's Habakkuk's desire or aim, as with all the true prophets, to keep the people in the faith, to strengthen them with much consolation and the declaration of the pure will of God, to strengthen their faith in his promises so that people in affliction might not doubt, but rather give glory to the God of all truth. So he comes finally to the climax of the matter, that is, to strengthen and sustain those who are weak in faith, saying, the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. We who do wait for God's promises, we who do trust in him, that surely he will deliver us and we will live, we will not be disappointed, says God. God's promises are not hollow, but they're hallowed, and they're holy, and they're sacred. He fulfilled his promise to Adam and Eve that he would send a Savior to crush the head of the serpent. And yet, even when he came, our Lord Jesus suffered violence at the hands of evil men to bear our sin and be our Savior. It wasn't easy. He took faith. It takes faith to see what God was up to on that cross. And he did it for you. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, or as some count slowness, but he's patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance and faith ultimately. The preaching of God's word in both law and gospel is that word that reaches us. God has posted watchmen, as it were, to ensure that his word is proclaimed. Faith comes by hearing, says St. Paul, a gift of God. Our Lutheran confessions clearly teach that the Holy Spirit works faith when and where he wills, by the preaching of Christ, by reception of the sacraments. The point is not that we ask, do I have faith, but rather that we rejoice that God speaks to us and comes to us in Christ. Though we have difficulty seeing it, God is working all things together for our good, according to his promise. A beloved Luther quote comes from the Small Called Articles, God is superabundantly generous with his grace. First, through the spoken word, by which forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to the whole world, and this is the peculiar office of the gospel. Second, through baptism, where he joins us to Christ's death and resurrection and all the benefits that come thereby. And third, through the holy sacrament of the altar, through which he continues to feed and sustain us in faith and forgiveness regularly. Fourth, through the power of the keys, that is, confession and absolution, and through mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren, that is, when we as individual Christians encourage one another in the faith and forgive one another. God ensures that you will hear, as St. Paul said it, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, even when it seems God doesn't hear. He is his own interpreter. He will make it plain in his time and in his way. Amen.